We're back with more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North. Every month we talk about music with internationally renowned cellist Robert Cohen. It's a segment we call On That Note, and it examines the life of a professional classical musician. Last month we talked about how he approaches learning a new piece of music. This month I wanted to know more about the performance itself. Robert, welcome back to Lake Effect. It's a pleasure to see you. Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you so much. I wanted to have our conversation this month be about the thing that you – well, maybe you don't do it the most. I think probably practicing and preparing is the thing you do the most. But actually performing, actually being on the platform and what it's like to be up there, how you prepare yourself to be there and what you do once you get there. So just a small subject.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose when I was growing up, I didn't really have any experience until, you know, maybe a parent said, can you play to Auntie so-and-so or something, which was so – I didn't actually mind that at all. And then I was pretty early onto the platform. So for me, it just seemed a nice place to be. I didn't have any
– So no stage fright?
No, I never had stage fright. And I suppose probably I'm more nervous now than I was
now
then.
Now you know what can go wrong.
Yeah, but I've you know, one has to be very philosophical about this. And also, you know, I know that – being up there is stressful if you don't know exactly what you're doing. So being prepared, incredibly well prepared, is vital. I mean, I remember having one terrible experience. You know, I think I was about 15 or 16 and I was pretty precocious and I was on a summer course, music camp. And there was an orchestra, a student orchestra, and I was there doing cello lessons and chamber music. And my teacher said to me, oh, do you think you could play Haydn Cello Concerto with the orchestra, you know, in 5 or 6 days? It's not a concert. It's just everybody's learning about this thing. So we're just going to rehearse it and we'll run it through. And I thought, yeah, well, that's fine. I know this piece. You know, I'm pretty comfortable with it. And so I carried on with my cello lessons and my chamber music and did a bit of practice, sort of thought I'd brush up on this Haydn concerto, and arrived to play it with the orchestra and felt absolutely diabolical because I really didn't know it well enough. So every moment was a nightmare. I just didn't know whether I was going to be able to play it, what it was going to sound like. I wasn't sure I remembered it properly. It was just like digging myself out of a hole and never getting any higher, you know. It was a terrible experience. And it's, as you can tell now, it's how many, 40 years later or something, that it taught me a huge lesson, which I've never forgotten, because the feeling of being on the platform, even though it wasn't a performance, of playing and not being in control and not really knowing what I was doing was just terrible, and it was terrifying, and it was so negative that I swore to myself this would never, ever happen again. And I have to say, it hasn't really ever happened again. I just make sure that my preparation is such that I can get on the platform and say, I'm calm, I know what to do. But having said that, I think it's a very complicated process. And I know many of my colleagues are racked with nerves, and they've been on the platform also for decades. And they've had so many experiences of performing, and yet it's terribly stressful. So I think I'm lucky because I feel comfortable in front of a lot of people. And also because I think I've taken an approach which is also quite different to many musicians. I feel that performing is like flying. You're in an environment where you shouldn't ever expect anything to be a certain way, that the elements around you are constantly changing. And in the concert hall, that means you can't predict the temperature. You know, it can be a cold, freezing air conditioning blowing past you, making your muscles all dry up, you know.
Or the instrument.
Yes. Or it can be really sweltering hot and ridiculously humid and you're kind of slipping and sliding everywhere. And the acoustic can be very dry. So, you know, you feel as though every tiny thing can be heard. And there's nothing to kind of warm it up and throw the, you know, there's nothing to bounce the sound around. Or it can be like a bathroom. You never really know until you get on the platform, because when you rehearse in the hall, it's empty. There are no people there warming it up. They haven't turned the air conditioning on yet. You don't know how many people are going to be there. So when you arrive on the platform, the sound that you make can't be predicted. And, of course, your intention for what the sound should be is from all your preparation. But what it actually sounds and how it travels to your audience is not predictable. And so since as a musician we're dealing with sound, that is all we're dealing with, the fact that the sound can change so much and dramatically means that if you're expecting everything to sound a certain way and you're expecting it to feel in a certain way, in other words, when you move around the instrument, you expect it to feel that way. And then, of course, if you expect to be in a certain mood or you expect to be full of energy, you know, it's just the wrong approach. I think you should expect anything to happen and you should be ready to be blown around and to take control of whatever the situation is right there and then, so that you can fly comfortably. You know, if it's windy or if it's raining or if there's lightning, the plane is going to go on and it's going to find its way because it's built to be flexible. It's built for the environment to be constantly changing. That's my approach. I also like so much like the music to be live. You know, I really love the fact that things can happen and that you can change your mind about the emphasis of the way you're going to say something in the music, because at that moment you just feel that's right. And I love the fact that you can tell that the audience is listening or not really listening, or they're really involved, or the music has really caught the moment and the atmosphere is right. And maybe that's because the acoustic that night suits that piece of music and another night it doesn't, you know, in a different environment, different concert hall. So when I'm training myself, when I'm preparing the performances, I'm preparing for the ground to be gone, not to be under my feet. And to every single detail that I do with my hands on the instrument and my musical intentions, I kind of challenge myself to think of it 15 different ways. And I suppose I'm really lucky, because when I was very young, I had an absolutely genius master teacher, and he never let me play anything one way. I would play a phrase and he would say, oh, another way, please. And I play it a second way, different emphasis, different feeling. He said, another way. And I would have to play each thing 10, 15 different ways. And then he would say, okay, now let's move on. You know, choices are there. You know, you have that possibility. And to play in that way, you have to have a technique that allows you to do that many different things.
Yes. And you have to have the mental technique to be able to encompass that many different possibilities. To me, it sounds like what you're describing is you have to both be in control of it and completely not in control, being willing to say whatever happens, happens, but I have this foundation that is flexible that I can adjust on the fly.
I think you put it beautifully. And it's a really hard thing to understand as when you're playing, to let go of controlling how one note moves to the next and how you control the sound and allow things to happen, because it's frightening. It can be a frightening thing not to be in control, just like that experience I had when I was 15, when it's terrifying. It's like taking your hands off the steering wheel. You know, you feel you're better off.
But your foot's still on the gas. Yeah.
And somehow it is really about your whole approach of philosophy about music making, I think. And I feel that it suits me, this approach anyway. All I can say is that it gives me that possibility, that spontaneity. And it makes me very comfortable on the platform, and it always has done. And I think probably I can analyze it much more. Now, when I was young, I probably just did all these things and didn't really think about it. But in getting older and also having to try to teach people what this is all about, I've learned how to put it into words, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that also these are techniques that are very similar to anybody who has to get up and do something in front of an audience. And we talked about this a little bit before, didn't we? You know, if you've got to give a speech at a wedding or something, you can be really nervous about these sorts of things. But it depends how you prepare for it. Funnily enough, I was just giving one of my students a lesson in preparation for an audition. She is going to audition to be a part of a kind of music scheme. And she was getting really nervous about this because to sit down in front of an audience and play is a nice thing to do, you know, I think. You know, they're there actually to enjoy the music and probably pay good money to do that. And they're coming to hear what you have to say about it, not what anybody else has, but what you have to say about the music. Whereas when you sit in front of two or three or four people who are there to examine you and decide whether you're in or out and whether you're good enough, whatever that might mean, whether it means good enough for their scheme or whether you're the right person or whether they like what you do, it's all very complicated. And it's very easy when you're going to play in that audition to try to kind of second guess what they're looking for.
As opposed to playing your interpretation.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I had lots of students who said, oh, I think I'm going to have to play this way for this competition. Well, you know, everybody on the jury thinks something different. So really, where do you put yourself? And I was running through this process with my student and I was saying, well, you know, when you come in, people are going to be nice to you or they could be horrible to you. You know, they could just take notice of you and say, yeah, play it now. Or they could say, oh, hello, it's lovely to see you. You know, what would you like to start with? And the kind of things that go on in auditions. And I said, this is what you need to be preparing yourself for the kind of different attitude that people are going to have to your talking to them. But when you play, you're just going to have to play the way you believe music has to be. And it's very tough to get up and do those things. I remember having to do those competitions and auditions myself, and they are, you self-examine to such a degree that you can, you know, implode if you're not very careful.
Yeah, again, trying to control the things that aren't controllable.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is a very Zen way of being in life, you know, is letting go of that, but having the foundation. It's, you know, I always think of when people say, you know, why do I have to practice my scales and why do I have to? Because then you can forget about them, but they're always there.
Yes.
They're there to support you.
And also you can just draw them up one by one if you need them. Because when you're on the platform, you are under the spotlight. And if you just, with all this adrenaline, you've got such extra power to think about things and you can be really distracted by completely irrelevant thoughts, or you can kind of zoom in on your own playing to such an extent where you're not even sure where to put the next foot in front of the other one, you know, and you can be too self-conscious. Whereas if you've got that, like you say, that information that comes from behind somewhere, you can just draw on those little things. Like you can just say to yourself, oh yeah, it's good to slow down, it's good to breathe a bit more, it's good to think more about what am I saying when I'm giving this speech than how am I going to say it. And that's very much the case when you're on the platform with a cello. If you start thinking about how you're going to put your fingers on the instrument, you're going to fall apart. But if you can think, what does this mean? And, you know, I love this bit of music because it felt so, you know, serene. If you can get yourself involved in that, what the meaning is, much more, and you get your thoughts on track, then you stop kind of getting tripping all the time.
The monkey mind quiets down. And you get out of your own way, essentially, and then you can just perform.
Yes.
Yeah. Robert, as always, such a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Bonnie.
Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen is an award-winning recording artist, conductor, artistic director, and he's the cellist for the Fine Arts Quartet based in Milwaukee. He spoke with us as part of our regular monthly segment called On That Note with Robert Cohen. And that wraps up our show today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're looking forward to your company tomorrow and every weekday morning for more of Lake Effect. It's right here on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next. It's 11 o'clock. Thank you.